An extra set of eyes or two can enhance your enjoyment of a long-distance hike. When those eyes belong to your own children, it introduces an extra set of requirements that aren't often covered in many trail guides. Cassandra Overby advocates for seeing Europe through the backyard, you could say. She personally researches many of the long-established, long-distance hiking trails that have crossed Europe for centuries in her book, Explore Europe on Foot. Her work even inspired me to plan my own extended hiking trips in the last couple of years around Mont Blanc and in the Swiss Berner Oberland. As the mother of two young girls, Cassandra's learned a few pointers for including children on European hiking adventures, and she joins us now on Travel with Rick Steves to share them.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be back.
Yeah, now you and I write guidebooks about hiking and traveling in Europe, and we're going to be talking about hiking with kids in Europe. But of course, these tips kind of apply to hiking with children anywhere, don't they?
Completely.
Now, when I was hiking around Mont Blanc a couple years ago, one thing I was really struck by was how many parents had kids on their backs as they were hiking this 100-mile hike. It's not uncommon for people to take their little kids with them.
No, Europeans really love to hike with their kids because for them it's part of their family culture. They're walkers, so they're going to raise their kids as walkers.
Now, you've done this with your two kids, June and Ginger. Is it just kind of a chore that you do in order to continue hiking and traveling, or is it actually a plus? Do you find that it is a great opportunity as a parent?
You know, I think honestly, it's both.
Mm-hmm.
I have to bring them at this point because I go to Europe for so long. There's no way I could be away from them for months at a time.
Right.
But I found that the experience of having them there let me see a completely different side of Europe than I had experienced before. And it made me really notice a lot of things that I had never picked up on. I mean, the things that they're really drawn in by, cows and playgrounds and different parts of huts and talking to kids who are foreign. I mean, it really changes your perspective on what you're seeing.
That is so cool. Now, you've spent several months with the kids in Europe hiking. You had like 2 or 3 months, and every day you did a long hike with the kids.
Right. So it ended up being about 45 hikes over 3 months. So nearly a hike every day with some travel days thrown in.
There's a million moments, but just share one moment where you were so glad to share that with 4.5-year-old June.
You know, there were some times when we were just walking along and she would look up ahead and she'd be like, "Mom, it's a junction." And she pulled out her map, because that was one of the things I did to help her feel big was, you know, I gave her the map so that she could help navigate. And half the time it was turned upside down. But she really understood that actually there was some sort of organization to this whole thing and there was a purpose. And then we'd come across cows and, you know, she would look so interested in just wanting to get eye level with them and it, just everything, her joy at every single turn.
I love it. I was just studying about traveling and hiking with kids. I've got a new grandchild and I was just holding this beautiful little boy. His name is Atlas. And we're going to make the Atlas our friend in the next couple of years. And the Wilderness Society has a bunch of practical tips for traveling with kids. And I'd like to review some of these with you and just kind of come up with what really in practice would be helpful for us. So I'm just going to go through these tips and get your thoughts on that.
Great.
First of all, not a long hike, an experiential hike. Make it feature friendly. You're going to a lake or a waterfall or some kind of a goal. You're creating a memory. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, so you want to have things on trail that they connect with. So a lot of the trails in Europe have cows. They have little petting zoos at the huts along the way. You know, they love to try cheese from the little dairies. All of those things count as things that they're going to be excited about.
And that's important to remembering the
kids.
It's their trip too.
Right. And what I found too was really helpful is actually looking as small as bugs and rocks.
Yeah.
You will never see the trail like you do with a child because they want to pick up everything, whether it's, you know, the famous green lizards that live in the Wachau Valley or, I mean, it's just everything. They'll find dragonflies.
And that takes time. So you got to allocate more time, probably fewer miles, but more time for those experiences and some smart pack-alongs. I mean, be prepared. What are some fun things you would take that you wouldn't take if you were just traveling without kids?
So we always carry a little nature bag so that our kids can pick up rocks and sticks and bugs and anything they want and take them back, and we look at them that night. We also bring bug catchers because they like to catch bugs on trail and look at them with a magnifying glass.
Okay.
But I would say probably the two best things you can ever have in your pack with kids, one is an audiobook. at the ready, because in our family, we don't do a lot of screens, but I am happy to put on a book to be read to the kids while they look out and hike. And believe it or not, they'll just keep walking. You give them an audiobook or you tell them a story, they'll just keep walking for hours.
Now that seems like a very practical tip. So whether the child is on a backpack or whether the child is walking with you, audiobook.
Right, an audiobook with Bluetooth headphones so that you can actually control the audiobook from your pocket. And then also pack more snacks than you could ever think you could eat, because they will inevitably eat every single snack.
It's so funny you said that, because my girlfriend Shelley, we were going like on 8 hikes, and she brought 8 Ziploc baggies full of trail mix and granola bars for each day. And I thought, come on, we don't need this. And it was the smartest thing. We needed those every day. It just kept us going.
Right.
So smart. So smart. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Cassandra Overby. Her book is Explore Europe on Foot, Your Complete Guide to Planning a Cultural Hiking Adventure. Cassandra's latest adventure is hiking with her children. June is 4.5 years old and little Ginger is 2.5 years old. And Cassandra offers tips on hiking with families or hiking without families, routes all over Europe. You can find more information at her website. It's exploreonfoot.com. And that's with hyphens, explore-on-foot.com. Cassandra, how about gear when you're traveling with kids? I suppose, you know, adults can say, no, that doesn't feel right, or I'm cold, but kids don't communicate quite so well. So you got to be more sensitive about what they need with their gear.
Right. So the biggest thing is to have all the layers for their little bodies that you would have. But if they're going to be in a pack, you actually need more layers, because they're not going to have all of that motion to warm their bodies up naturally.
Oh, yeah.
So you really have to make sure that they're going to stay extra warm. Think of how you would feel in that climate if you were just sitting in a lawn chair. That's about how they feel.
Good point. So nice hat, nice mitts, layer
so
it.
So even in summer, we travel with puffies, rain jackets, hats, and gloves for everybody.
And also, it's probably good to have a change of clothes back at the car when you're done.
Completely. Sometimes we carry them, actually, especially pants, in our bag, because the kids like to get into puddles and different things.
I can't imagine a kid coming back after a 3-hour hike without being a little bit muddy.
Right. And the other big clothing tip that I like to give people is gaiters. They actually make little tiny kid gaiters. And we had a lot of problems for a while with our daughters getting rocks in their shoes, and we'd have to stop constantly on the trail.
Okay.
But when you put little gaiters on their feet, no more shoelaces coming untied, no more rocks in shoes. Hmm. It's a game changer.
When the kids get a little older, and if you've got several kids, it's probably nice to let one be the guide, the leader, and then rotate that position.
Oh, yeah. They love being the one to show you where to go. And that's another good opportunity, too, to say, okay, go find the next junction. The only rule is that you have to make sure you can still see me. So if you can't see me, you need to slow down.
So that's it. There's ways to incent them to keep going. I mean, there's a treat at the next river, or who can find the most of this, or who can... I'm glad you have that little nature bag. That's a wonderful idea.
Well, and so speaking of incentives, what we ended up doing was we divided our hikes up into 30-minute segments, and we had a little timer that would go off every single 30 minutes, and that would signal a new phase of the hike. So that's when we would introduce a new thing, such as the bug catcher or the audiobook. But if our daughters got a certain number of segments accomplished during a hike, like my older daughter June worked up to 5 segments of 30 minutes each, so 2.5 hours of hiking, and if she did her segments, she'd get an ice cream at the end.
That is, I can imagine responding to that.
And I
can imagine,
well.
It probably helps the whole day go by more fun with the parents as well. Positive reinforcement. I mean, kids love to be complimented. You're doing so well. Great job. You're so strong. I suppose that helps move
along. This works very well for hiking partners of all ages.
I think so, too. And probably an understanding that there's no ward for heroics here. If you're feeling tired, if you've got a tender piece of skin, let's stop and fix it.
Completely.
Very, very important. Good trail manners. If you're a parent who loves nature, it's what a great opportunity to teach kids to be good citizens in nature.
So, you know, you really have to teach kids. No, you can't just throw that granola bar wrapper when you're done with it. You have to put it in your little bag and pack it out with you.
You could even finish up the hike, take the last mile with a bag and pick up anything you see on the trail.
Completely. And think what a great family lesson that is.
Kids would never forget that. They'd feel good about it. They'd celebrate being a good citizen in nature. Explore Europe on Foot is Cassandra Overby's preferred way to travel, and it's the title of her detailed guide to 15 historic long-distance hiking trails in Europe, as well as a few shorter routes she recommends. She's with us right now on Travel with Rick Steves to recommend how you can successfully take your children along for the walk and keep everyone entertained and in good spirits. There's more on Cassandra's website, explore-on-foot.com. Cassandra, there are endless hikes that you could choose. You've been thinking a lot about choosing hikes with the interest of little kids in mind. In Europe, what of the great hiking destinations are also great hiking destinations for families?
So alpine experiences are really great because mountain huts are great spots for little kids. They generally have, you know, animals, and they are very accommodating with high chairs and things like that.
But about the animals and mountain farms, I felt like I was going to the beach, but it was up in the mountains.
Right.
There's so many, and there's lounge chairs, and there's like a petting farm of little animals in the farms that you can enjoy.
Yeah, it's just
great.
Wonderful.
And what I also noticed just last summer was all of the lifts seem to be investing in children's zones at the top. Beautiful playgrounds, alpine-themed playgrounds.
Right. So you see that in a lot of the Alps, but especially in the Dolomites. The Dolomites are incredibly family-friendly because almost every hut that you're going to walk to has a big playground. And not just a playground with some swings or a slide. We're talking like a giant metal structure made to look like a cow that kids can like come out the tongue of. We're talking really cool stuff that they like. And there are wooden ball drops. There are kids' meals that are cheaper, which is nice when you're traveling and you're incurring the added expenses of your kids. And also, travel can be free for kids on the lifts and the gondolas. So generally, kids 5 and under are free, and kids older than 5 are discounted.
And that's a huge savings when you're hiking in the Alps.
Oh, it really is.
That's great. You know, a lot of trailheads are served by public transit. I'm thinking of another way to save money. You're staying in a town. You don't need to just hike out of that town. You can hop on a bus and it'll serve the trailheads.
Oh, yeah. And somewhere like Val Gardena, if you're staying in one of the villages, you get a pass that gets you free transportation everywhere in the valley on the buses.
Take advantage of that. That's not uncommon anywhere in Europe, is if you're staying in a hotel and they're part of the system, they'll have a pass on the public transit. And I love the idea of riding the lift up and then traversing across the high altitude and at the end of the day riding the lift down. Can you think of a hike where you start with a lift, you enjoy the high altitude, and you finish with a lift?
Yes. I mean, they have those all over the Dolomites, but my favorite place is actually some of the hikes that are outside Vengen in Switzerland.
Oh, yeah.
So there's one trail specifically, the Eiger Trail, and you take, you know, cogwheel train and lifts all the way up, and then you actually slightly descend right below the face of Eiger, and then you end up at this really cool mountain hut, and you train back and over to Vengen from there.
Wow. Is that different than the North Face hike out of up of Vengen? You go up to Amenhubel, the funicular. And then I think you were going in one direction for the Eiger walk. I was going in the other direction, and both of them have that. You take advantage of the funicular to gain the altitude.
Right.
You got a well-worn trail with plaques, like history plaques and flora and fauna plaques to explain what you're looking at. You've got a wonderful, unforgettable kids' playground at the top of the Amenhubel funicular.
Mm-hmm.
You got a waterfall to hike under and behind.
It's so impressive. I mean, kids love it, but it's also really amazing for adults because those shorter hikes, too, are good for days when you don't want to spend your full day hiking, but you want to spend some time in town.
You know,
you want to go to the next village over and explore.
My one complaint about the Alps is not a lot of wildlife.
Right. I feel the same way. And then I also feel like, yay, I don't have to look out for bears or wolves or anything scary.
When you got spoken like a mother, that's good. You don't want your kids running from a bear, but I don't think you see a lot of bugs, but you don't see a lot of wildlife.
The number one thing I see when I'm hiking in Europe is wild boars.
You see the wild boars?
Oh, yeah. I've seen them several times.
For me, I love easy summits because a lot of times I don't have a lot of time for an 8-hour hike, but I've got a couple hours for a hike. And there's some easy summits that I'm thinking of right now. In Edinburgh, you can hike up to Arthur's Seat. It's this beautiful volcanic peak.
That's one of my favorite urban hikes.
Describe that to me when you get to the summit.
So you walk out of Edinburgh and you get into this grassland in the fields and you're walking up this slight incline and it feels like you're just in the middle of the countryside. You can't even imagine that you're close to town anymore.
And you get to the top, you feel like you're the king of Scotland.
Yeah, it's incredible. And it's so close to just, you know, it really doesn't take a long time to get to those spots. And before you know it, you're there.
Yeah. Do you have any Mediterranean summits or viewpoints that come to mind?
Ooh, so the one that I did this summer that I was really enjoying was actually over near Split in Croatia, looking out at the water there. So you can climb Moser Mountain, which is a real favorite of locals, and it's not that far, and you make your way up with these gorgeous views out to the water, out to the islands, back to Split, and so you walk up to this mountain hut where the same man has been opening this mountain hut for something like 30 years.
Oh, I love it.
Makes this homemade pasta fagioli soup.
Oh my goodness.
And you get to enjoy it. And it's basically all locals up there. Very few travelers.
And you're mixing culture and nature, which you're so good at. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been talking with Cassandra Overby, and we're exploring enjoying Europe on foot and some practical tips for traveling with children. Cassandra, it's been so fun talking with you. And I know a lot of our listeners are thinking, wow, hiking sounds great. Hiking with children, it's great as well. Can you share one moment you've had? You've done so much hiking with your husband and your two girls in the last year. One moment where you got together, you got to that spot, and you just thought, yes, this is a great family experience.
For me, that happens a lot in the Dolomites or in Switzerland. It happens a lot, especially when I'm on a peak, because I feel like I'm so far away from where I am at home, doing something that I otherwise would never be able to do. And here I am with a kid on my back, and I'm feeling strong. And it's so amazing. You know, this summer, my daughter would look out, and she'd be like, these mountains are incredible. And just the realization that she's getting to see these things that I never saw as a kid, and that her world is just being expanded. And more than that, that I get to share all of these things that I enjoy, like hiking in Europe, to build who she is as a person, training the next generation of guidebook authors, I hope.
You know, the impact you're having on your sweet little girls, it's hard to overestimate. I mean, they will always be better for the experiences they're sharing with their mom and dad when you take them hiking.
Right.
Whether you take them hiking in this hemisphere or in another hemisphere, you're close to nature, you're living well, you're together, you're celebrating what it means to really embrace life on this planet. Thank you, Cassandra, for all of your teaching, and best wishes with your guidebooks and with your family hiking.
Thank you so much. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine head my way. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. Mr. Bluebird on my shoulder. It's the truth. It's actual. Everything is satisfactual. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. Wonderful feeling, wonderful day.
We offer web links to Cassandra's earlier Travel with Rick Steves interviews about hiking the long-distance trails of Europe. You'll find them with the notes for this week's show at ricksteves.com/radio. Up next, we're connecting with tour guide Tim Tendick at his hotel in a colorful, time-warp, old-world town in Romania, right in the middle of Transylvania. He's been working out the details for a group tour he's organizing and lets us know what he's been digging up. That's next on Travel with Rick Steves.